This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're a real hippie, Chris.
I really have become pretty spiritual.
In quarantine?
Yeah.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
We are recording still from our homes because we are responsible and we care about the well-being of others and we're riddled
with... As do you.
Yeah, as do you.
And we're riddled with COVID-19.
No, guys, going to say
compassion. Is that what you were going to
say? Compassion 19. It's... I'm about
to... You've got a serious case, an asymptomatic case of Compassion 19.
I got Compassion 2. I got Compassion 19. I care about you, Ebola. I'm riddled. I'm hot with fever with compassion for stranger, as are the homeless people on my street. They wear masks. That's the point I keep up bringing. Because I have some mask deniers in my neighborhood.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. And then the guy that usually is yelling at trash cans and then knocking them over and then sweeping up his mess and screaming at cars is wearing a mask.
Yeah.
Someone that struggles with mental illness and doesn't have anyone caring about them is caring about other people. And
here's the thing, and I don't know if you've ever considered this. These people might just be homed people that you think don't wear nice clothes.
Right.
You ever think about that? What if they own every house on your block? They're like the landlord. They're an overwhelmed landlord.
I'm just like, oh, you poor person. And then I come home and write a check to them every month.
They're just talking to themselves or on the phone all the time. They're not schizophrenic. What if things are so much better than you think they are?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's a sign of wealth that you only wear one shoe.
In my land, it is. Where my people are from.
I'm driving up to my land. I'm going to Montana. I'm going to leave on Monday.
Nice.
And I just got tested. I'm waiting for the results again. I'm sure they will be negative. And then
You've
I'm going to
bring in the work.
Go up and hang out with my dad.
Now, do you have a plan? Because my sister said when she drove, I think they drove to Shasta and they said it was impossible to find a bathroom because most places aren't open to people coming in and out.
Well, and not to be graphic, but it's easier for boys. I've become a very skilled driving urinator. I have jars with still has a pickle in the bottom. I'm sorry. Do you remember all of just jars with one pickle? And I,
it already looks like urine, so it's fine. It runs really fine. And not shocking.
Yeah, I stop at a gas station and I just put it on a fence post for someone else to. I think that was the funny, most random thing. Living Color had funny moments. I watched it a lot when I was a kid because I just thought it was so funny. And you go back and watch it and it's like 90% of it doesn't hold up. But when Damon Wayans played a homeless guy and his bathroom was a pickle jar with a pickle in it, I'm just admitting that's where I got that. But
stole that.
I did steal it. I've been stealing a lot during this.
During COVID-19?
Yeah. My tax guy told me a joke. He basically said, it's funny because the government is like, yeah, we know how much you owe in taxes. We just want to make sure, you know, so you do the math. And it's like, can't you just tell me? No, but if you're wrong, you have to go to jail. Like he really said it in a funny way. And then I tweeted it and apparently, and I think he, because he's all over Twitter, I think he had seen this tweet, reiterated it to me. Then I tweeted it and everyone's like, hey, nice stolen tweet. And I'm like, God damn it. It's like when my dad would give me a joke idea and then I'd find out it was something Seinfeld said in the
90s.
It
was all dads.
I'm like,
those jokes belong to everybody.
Yeah, you can use that. You can use that.
Yeah, I can't. Also on Twitter, I feel like I did a thing one time that was so honestly unintentional, but it was just so guilty looking that I was just like, this is the worst. Because I it was, I think, Oscar night, the year that Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper were there for Stars Born.
Sure.
And she was wearing a dress that was exactly the dress that I wore to the freshman Christmas formal.
Was it the year you wore your raw meat dress to the formal?
Yes. When I was sponsored by the local butcher.
for prom,
she wore like this lavender dress that was made of this 80s like prom dress material.
Yeah,
it was shocking. So when I saw it, I was scrolling through my feed and I just took a picture of the picture I saw it on, and I didn't really look at whose account it was.
Right.
I just took a picture of their tweet without the words in it, just the picture.
Right.
Then when I went to post about she's wearing my dress from the freshman year and Christmas formal or whatever I said, I noticed that the shadow of the microphone made it look like Bradley Cooper was peeing. So then I was like, I made a joke about Bradley Cooper peeing and my prom dress. And all these people were like, you directly stole this from this guy, Jesse. Oh my God, shit.
Yeah.
This guy's done a bunch of stuff for like BuzzFeed and stuff, but he photoshopped the peeing onto the leg. Because that was the comment everyone was making. And the microphone made it look like he lightly peed. So he put this huge stream of pee down it.
Right.
And then did a whole joke. And then I basically had to say, I stole this from Jesse, and just delete it and then DM him and be like, I promise you, that's not what I meant to do. Like, I thought I'd like stumbled upon a real thing in the picture, but I'd taken the comedy picture from a comedy account.
Right, right.
It was really embarrassing.
I DM'd the person that originally tweeted this tax joke also. They didn't reply. They thought I was, oh, sure, your tax guy told you it. And I'm like, hey, tax guys go out and find tax jokes on Twitter.
They love tax comedy.
They say it to lighten the mood so the brunt of your low return isn't because you're already laughing about this damn joke.
Can I say this too? After years of going to get my taxes done, I think it's the weirdest thing. They just basically make you sit there and watch them do your homework for you. And then they ask you like a couple of random questions that they could just like, who cares? Put $500 down. It doesn't matter. We all know it doesn't matter. But you have to just sit there watching them for like an hour. And then it's like, that's the tax you personally pay to get your taxes done.
Right.
You have to observe the taxes being done.
In silence.
You have anything to do with it. When it's like, I would have done it myself if I could do it.
I know. I don't. I can't. I have tried before and you don't get a return that way. You just are somehow safe. But he gets me. He's like, What percentage of your car do you use as a restroom? Whatever. Little things that a little business like put that desk in your garage. I don't know. Wink, wink. Because he used to work for the IRS. So he's the perfect tax guy. He play both sides. Yeah.
That's good.
So he's been great for me. But yeah, while they're doing that homework, you sit there for an hour and a half. And then the minute I'm like, oh, you're in a photo with Tommy Lasorda, huh? He's like, shh, shh, shh. And I'm like, you just have to sit there in silence while they do your homework.
Yeah. It's really, really awkward.
And he's always like, uh-oh, boy, you didn't make any money this year. Well, it's not looking good. And then at the end, oh, no, you're going to be fine. Every year, he builds the suspense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy really likes to spin a yarn with you.
Whether
it's comedy or drama, he's bringing entertainment to you as you get your taxes done.
We're pals. We have a good time together. We laugh.
How old is this man, Chris?
I think he's an age-appropriate friend. He's probably he's mid to late 40s.
Is he really?
But yeah, he's been a
tax Twitter.
Yeah, he's a young for IRS tax / freelance tax guy.
Yeah, I thought all freelance tax guys had to be 72.
I know that my first tax guy is not alive anymore. Because I just quit being able to get a hold of him. And it makes me sad that he was a salesman for the vitamin. It's like a pyramid scheme vitamin thing.
Yeah.
He was trying to stay alive, Karen.
Look, we all have to in all different ways, whether it's through powerful multivitamins that feed your body and your mind. Or
wow. Is that the slogan?
Yeah. Oh, you take a look right over here. We've got stuff. You said that you're feeling sluggish. And then here's your taxes done. All your taxes are done. You're not being done. I want to take a look up at the literal pyramid of vitamins that I have behind me.
He did. They were in a triangle formation behind him, just like the scheme.
It's appealing. You want to see ancient Egypt when it's some kind of strange detergent, whatever it is,
with
the pyramid scheme.
I was having a very bad day one day years ago, and I stuck my card into a parking meter, and it didn't stop. I just pushed it all the way in, and I couldn't get it out. And I was...
Sorry, I'm going to have to walk you back. Did you put your card into the parking meter so hard that you broke
it? No, it just... I was like, zip, and then it was gone. I'm like... It's not like I was like, God damn it, and... Because I went inside and it was a sandwich shop, and I'm like, someone needs to help me. Like, I'm some. Oh. And he knew right away that it was the parking meter that swallows everything. So he grabbed the tweezers that he had reserved for. And this guy's trying to make sandwiches. I do believe I thanked him and then also bought a sandwich, even though I had already eaten. So it all worked out in the end. But,
nice. You gave back. And then you let him put a nice arch in your eyebrows. Because while you're there, you might as well do some sculpting. I one time, speaking of when you were talking about breaking the machine with your credit card, one time I walked up to the ATM machine. I used I think it's a B of A that's on the corner of Vine and Sunset.
Mm-hmm.
So it's right there by Amoeba.
Uh-huh.
I think.
Yeah.
One time I put my ATM card in there and then just had absolutely no idea what my PIN was. Like, I couldn't even imagine what it was. I just stood there for so long, and it was usually, of course, like anyone's PIN, it's like some personal thing where I'll go like, oh, it's the what I couldn't. I had nothing, and I had to take it back out and go inside and be like, I need to reset my PIN number.
That always scares me. And when it happens, every time I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have Alzheimer's like my mom.
Yeah.
And it's
starting now.
It's because I can't remember this number.
This goddamn government assigned number.
Yeah, this goddamn government number, cheese. Did I tell you, speaking of ATMs and cards going in the wrong places, about the time Matt Bearden, who's a comic friend in Austin, and Brendan Walsh and I did the 101X alternative radio station, and they did a contest. They're like, we have some comedians on. I think we were promoting a show. They had a contest for free Nickelback tickets, giving you an idea of when this was, about 10 years ago. If you come in and these comics can't make you laugh, if you're able to, which is the easiest thing in the world to make yourself not laugh.
Sure.
If you can come in and these guys tell you jokes and you don't laugh, you win Nickelback tickets. And this guy called in and he's like, I love Nickelback. I love Nickelback so much. That's what I named my horse, which in retrospect, that is a great name for a horse.
It is a great name.
Nickelback is a great horse name.
If Nickelback didn't exist, the band.
Right, right. If you just was like Nickelback in the lead before Seabiscuit.
That's like if you could do a whistle with just your mouth, not using your fingers, like Nickelback. And Nickelback would run over.
My dad taught me to change the oil in a car, but he didn't teach me how to do that finger whistle.
I could do it with fingers, but not without.
Yeah, it's all in the tongue. It's all in. I mean, I'll never learn it.
Nickelback?
This guy came in, though, and he just looked like a dishonorably discharged Marine. And he had his arms crossed, and we tried to tell him jokes, and he just looked angry. His way of not laughing was to just get furious and hate us, yeah. Which I understand. It's maybe a
like an acting class. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He went he got really mad and Meisner with us.
Sure.
And then, so we started to resort to, like, Brendan whispered something in his ear, and then he kissed the guy's ear, thinking that would make him break, and the guy just got angry. Matt Bearden took off his glasses, pulled down his pants, and put his glasses on top of his penis, and turned around and said, "Will anyone blow my nose?" He did like this gonzo, and I was laughing so, but the guy just had his arms crossed, getting angry. And then Brendan and I think Brendan, we didn't rehearse this, but he just said, ass ATM to me. And he said, put a dollar in your mouth. And I put the dollar in my mouth. And then Brendan did a skit where he's like, where's that ATM machine? Here it is. And I pulled down my pants and he swiped his debit card down my butt crack. And then I spit out this dollar. And the guy finally smiled a little bit.
Yes.
But they still gave him the Nickelback tickets. I mean, he deserved
it. Them. He really did earn them.
But we finally got him with that. And then we had to, it was like with a tax guy, we had to be in the same room as him when we went to commercial. And Brendan had just shown him his penis. I think that everything we did, we probably get arrested now.
Yeah. And also, you guys really, for a contest like that, you really left it all on the table. I mean, I think you went above and beyond what most comics would do.
At the time, none of us had achieved anything with stand-up except for maybe featuring for Rich Miller. So we were hungry and we were ready to give it our all.
We're ready to take those pants off.
Yeah. If all else fails, get naked. I've always done that. Not sure. Anymore, of course, but...
Hell yeah. No, you got to.
It's a good way to get out of a lot of things.
Yes.
Like a fight. Get naked.
And also, it's natural. Don't be ashamed.
Exactly, man. You know, since this quarantine started, I've been just walking around my apartment, burning a lot of incense. I just bought a hand-painted skull the other day, and I don't wear my underwear. And I'm learning to cook, and I feel free as a bird.
Whose skull did you buy?
There's a guy at the bottom of the street that's a really good artist, and he does like stipple paint art and Day of the Dead type skulls. Mm. And I always tell him I'm going to buy one. And then the other night I accidentally had $15 on me, so I bought a little skull.
By accident?
Yeah. Yeah. But I have it in my collection. He was appreciative. And I recognize him from Venice. He used to live in Venice. So I've been putting off buying a hand-painted skull from him for over a decade.
It's time to support that guy. He's following you around Los Angeles.
Yeah. And I do, when someone has multiple under-the-eye tattoos, including the teardrop, which we know you don't get for helping old ladies cross the street, I will do what you say, and I'm influenced by that.
I mean, it's good to support those people because I bet you they haven't had a ton of support in their life. So it's a nice thing for them to finally experience.
Yeah, for sure.
Sometimes those tattoos just represent a deep sadness.
Yeah.
You know, 10 years of deep sadness.
Yeah. Sometimes you're in a gang. Sometimes you're just a permanent clown.
Sometimes you just made weird tattoo decisions to reflect your clinical depression.
Yeah. I'm glad I never got anything here, as opposed to the other tattoos I never got.
Face tattoos that's really, I feel like people that get face tattoos have a true clear vision of what their look is going to be for the rest of their lives. And it's just very specific. And I think you have to have a certain, especially with women, I think I really like that look. There's a waitress at the 101 Cafe that has tattoos that kind of go around her face and then down.
Oh, yeah. I remember. She's been there since our meeting. It was our meeting spot.
Since our meetings. Yeah. She's and she looks like a model, but she's like, I'm hard. Like she's doing that kind of super badass. And it looks amazing on her.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the coolest way, I think. It's like she looks cool and she's wearing like cute clothes. But then at the same time, you're just like.
And she's nice. She's happy. She's like
she's a lovely person.
Yeah, she's great. But it looks like she could throw a punch. I know exactly who you're talking about. And it does tap into a bunch of things I'm attracted to.
Yeah. Yeah, no. She would straighten some people out, but she doesn't have to. That's what the tattoos say.
Yeah, yeah. My days of straight shooting are over, she says.
Oh, that's her? That's her character?
Yeah, thank you.
Don't you miss going to sit at the 101 Cafe?
I miss, I've been, I guess, somewhat recklessly going to sit. There's an outdoor situation at the Holloway, and they take your temperature, and there's sneeze guards, and no one is sitting at the same table. So it's a little weird. It's just single people at their own picnic table, but they have a chicken wing night, and I've been going. It just feels somewhat normal to be not at my house eating. That's really, but the next day, I do feel like I've broken the rules and I'm going to get sick. So, but I've been getting tested and I've been negative so far. It's
good.
It's been real fun.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to get tested, but I have been so indoors and, you know, am asymptomatic as far as I know. Like, I just keep checking, you know, I just keep updating my 2-week thing of like, well, that's been another 2 weeks and I don't have any. I feel exactly the same as I did in February.
Yeah.
So.
How are you doing? Are you feeling?
I think I have it.
That's what I meant. Asymptomatically, how do you feel?
I feel terrible. Yeah. I can't feel any of the horrible, horrible symptoms. No, I feel good. I mean, I've been swimming a ton.
I was going to ask about swimming.
Yes. And it's the greatest.
I love swimming, and
it's so like, I mean, everything's calming down now. It was a little exciting in June or whatever, but in July, I guess. But it's such a relaxing, it like just automatically kind of puts you out for the rest. You're just like zenned out for the evening and it's so nice.
It is the closest thing I've done to meditation. You're weightless and you're deprived in a deprivation way.
Chris?
Yeah. Every time I've swam, I'm like, I'm not thinking about anything except my breathing because I was trying to go back and forth and do laps. And I didn't anticipate like that it was kind of like meditation because I left it totally calm.
Yep.
And blood has gone to every extremity of your body. And it's the best.
Someone told me it's double whatever normal. If you do normal cardio, like you're going to walk 5 miles. If you swam the same length, it's double the impact on your body.
Like, oh, it has
to be. It's as if you did it 10 miles.
Oh, yeah, at least. Like if I think of running back and forth in a pool for 20 minutes or next to a pool, the length of a pool, I could do that all day. But just swimming back and forth 20 times is so much work. And I can tell I haven't been doing it. I look a little like I've gained some weight, but that's okay. No one's judging. No one's in my apartment to judge
me.
No
one's around. No.
Yeah. You know, I occasionally on the way to the bathroom, I'll do 5 chin-ups. We all know about my chin-up bar.
I've seen your chin-up bar. Remember when you stopped in the middle of a comedy show and did some pull-ups? When your sound got fucked up and you just went and did pull-ups?
I can do a lot when I felt like that game night was like a party, so I was drinking.
Yes.
And man, I can do a lot of pull-ups when I've been drinking.
That helps it a little bit. It's
it
like a
does.
Fuel.
A lot of people talk about the negative aspects, the way it ends lives or affects marriages, but no one talks about how many more chin-ups you can do on booze.
And It's what's crazy is they should be talking about it in grammar schools. Yes. Presidential fitness test events. The little kids drinking a beer real quick before they do an arm, the 5 second arm hang.
Yeah, I can finally touch my toes. Vomit.
Now I'm an alcoholic. It's sixth grade. What have you been? What's one highlight memory moment of the last, say, the last since the last time we recorded of anything that's happened to you at all?
I get a lot of daily sweet messages of. From the people that have watched my comedy special that
nice
that and they say really specific nice things, and that has been happening. Not a lot of I did Mark Maron's podcast. That was really fun, and that
did it go good?
Yeah, it did go well. Yeah, we had a lot of fun, and the whole time all I was thinking about was his girlfriend had died. Mm-hmm. And on the tip of my tongue I wanted to say I'm sorry for your loss, but thank God I didn't during the... We just had a fun, light conversation about comedy and when we both... Because we kind of moved to LA around the same time and did the Ramada Inn, this terrible room.
Oh, yeah.
But we both... That's how I first knew him, is we would go to this dark place that was bad for comedy where they would lure people staying in the hotel down to hear jokes against their will. And we just kind of relived... things. I don't know. We had fun and even know him very well, but I realized we had some stuff in common, so it was just it was a good time.
Good.
I ordered a dollhouse and then canceled it because I knew I was going to Montana. That was mm-hmm. exciting.
Yep. Okay. What was that like? Talking directly to customer service at the dollhouse company?
I bypassed Amazon and said, hey.
I need to talk to a human being. Where was that dollhouse company located?
They are actually located in Los Angeles.
No.
Yeah, RoboTime makes... I think that they're manufactured overseas somewhere, but there is a place here that makes a lot of DIY miniature houses.
Nice.
I called them directly. They dealt with it. And then my Amazon order was canceled. And Amazon was like, we don't know why. They're out of stock. And it's like, oh, I went straight to the man. You don't need to worry about it.
Some friends of the pod took care of it.
Yeah, exactly. But I've been meeting up with some dude friends like Brooks Whelan and those guys. We go ride bikes by the river and then we hang out under a bridge. And
then you go find a dead body and then you run across the train tracks.
It is very much like Stand By Me. Yes. We've been meeting under the river and it's very enjoyable. We bring snacks. There's blankets. It's very fun and wholesome.
Who else besides Brooks?
Brooks was Nick Turner, Carl Hess, Nick Rutherford. We have a little group.
You know, that group is the Curly Haired Boys. That's the name of your group. One of you has relatively the same hair.
Every one of them had a history of curly hair, although only one pursuing it right now.
You might want to invite Steven into that group because he absolutely qualifies with that wig he's got.
Steven, you want to hang out by the river with some boys?
It's age appropriate, so yeah.
Steven, you stay away from that riverbed. Those boys are no good.
It's weird. This is like Los Feliz area. Like there's a horse stable. And a walking bridge that's brand new in space age. And the river...
That's the Burbank Equestrian Center, right?
It's not quite Burbank. It is...
By the zoo a little bit?
It is kind of by the zoo. Oh, it is? Yeah, okay. You know then. Okay. Mm-hmm. We've been meeting by that. And the river, it's the LA River, and we know it's a naturally occurring river, but it's hard to believe because it's just surrounded by cement embankments and these flood gates and everything, but
it's where they filmed the car race in Greece.
Right. So exactly.
For those of you listening at home, it's all cement. There's nothing river-like about it except for a very small eerie canal. Yeah. But I meant it like creepy in its smallness.
Yeah.
Canal of water where it's like, how come you designed it like this? Because there's no water down here.
But then over here, it's not that narrow Erie Canal. It is a wide, full-on river with cattails and bushes and birds and some tents, like people live on these little islands. It looks like a real, like it, I don't know if they cultivated it, like the city went in and threw some fertilizer down, but it is green and pretty. So if you just look at the water, the river and the islands and the trees, it's gorgeous. And then you pan over and it's just a grease cement race track.
Just like Hollywood itself.
There's a scene in the movie Drive where he silently, you know, there's no, he has no lines in it, Ryan Gosling. He just looks
That's right.
beautiful.
He just has that jacket.
But he takes the girl and her son on a drive down that grease, down the LA River embankment, and then they stop and they're suddenly at a nature preserve. I think I discovered that. I think that it exists and we discovered it on our bicycles.
Oh.
Yeah.
And you went in there and shot all the peacocks?
Yeah, I got very violent.
Curly haired boy stuff.
I just love that about LA is that you forget there's these little nooks and crannies that are like all. I hate that I use the phrase nooks and crannies. There's
Why?
Just there's hidden nature everywhere.
There's Thomas's English muffin level areas that are filled with butter, the butter of nature.
That's much better.
Nooks and crannies. Remember that commercial? It was like a big feature of Thomas's English muffins that there are pockets for the butter to go into.
And
that was a selling point.
Did someone in an English accent say nooks and crannies?
I don't think they had an English. I can't remember.
But
there
like
was just
call,
big.
Butter bubbles. Butter reservoirs. I like English muffins because they have butter reservoirs. Oh, God.
I have a story for you because April Richardson's been staying with me.
What?
Because she came to America because she's going to go visit her family. But she's like quarantining with me. She already tested negative, and then she and her friend are going to drive back to Atlanta together. So she's been quarantining here. So basically every day it's just me and April are just watching TV, eating and swimming in the pool all day. But the first day we did it, we went out there at like 11:30 in the morning and it was actually still almost foggy. And we stayed in the pool until like 2:00. And when we got out of the pool, we were both so sunburnt. Like, and it was as if we had never dealt as pale, dark-haired women had never dealt with the sun before. Like,
yeah.
I had such a bad sunburn on my face. Like, I haven't worn less than SPF 50, like sunblock on my face since I was 15.
Anything less, like, it's useless.
It's pointless. And also, like, you know, there's melanoma runs in my family. It's also an aesthetic look or whatever. I just stood in the pool. I have my forehead is peeling. Like my whole face was sunburned. This, when the makeup comes off my nose, I look like the fucking scarecrow. From
Do you
Wizard
get
of
freckly?
Yeah, well, the first thing I do is burn. And it just like mine wasn't as bad because I've been in the sun this summer. But April, because she's been in England this whole time, got like scorched.
Oh,
it was
no.
really bad. Yeah, it was really bad.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So you're going to quarantine with your dad?
Yeah. At first,
essentially,
hang out with my dad. And then I'm going to move into another place for the second week and hang out with my friends separately and shoot some videos.
Hoops. Cool.
Yeah. Going to be great. I just got to be careful when I'm driving up. I'm going to wear gloves. I'm going to gingerly handle gas pumps.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to, like I said, pee in a jar the whole way.
Keep it, save it, send it somewhere.
I'm not going to, they haven't shown that you can get it this way, but I'm not going to make any eye contact with truckers.
That's just trouble.
Yeah, that's in all virus aside. That's just how you get shanked by one of these road warriors.
That's you, Chris, there's no need to mad dog people that drive 18-wheelers. the fact that you had to cross that off your list is scary enough.
You know what? Everyone I've ever known that is a truck driver is a sweet, kind person.
Then why are you trying to fight with them and stare them down?
I don't know. You're right. They're just, they're in love with the road, and they usually have a corgi in the cab with them.
And maybe a couple whiteies, some crosstops, some bennies, some downtiers.
What are those things?
You know, trucker pills. They got some black bees.
Sure.
And they got red ladies.
Yeah, you got to take them. Pop a couple red ladies when you got a long haul overnight.
You get a fucking iceberg. You get to take two icebergs and a large mont.
Is there a scene from Smokey and the Bandit that where they talk about drug names and you're just reciting them all? How do you know
probably
about red ladies and whiteies?
What? Don't be sexist. I know about all the pills, just like boys do. Can I tell you that
I don't know about any of the pills.
Oh, I'll have to give you the pill list. It's amazing.
Oh, the trucker the pill list? Oh, I can't
all the
wait.
Cool boys have it.
You just hand me a Santa Claus scroll and it's hundreds and hundreds of trucker pills.
Aspirin, Aleve.
I've heard of those.
Well, I said every pill. I forgot to put my garbage out again this week. It is so irritating. I have to put my garbage out on Tuesday night because the garbage man comes literally at like 6 a.m. on Wednesday morning.
I'm bad with
and
that.
And I again forgot.
Yeah. So it's
I'm
another
so
week. So it's where do you, is it out in the street or do you keep it in the house? Stinking
up
everything?
Keep it on the side of the house, but then I have to keep it up above because the dogs will get it. And if I won't be leaving, but if I do something, I'll come in and they'll be like garbage from 5 days ago laying throughout the living room because Frank got into a bag.
And wants to bring it inside to show you what he found. Hey, remember like, this?
Hey, remember you loved this pizza. Now I love it too. But it's the kind of thing where like there's no excuse to forget the garbage night, putting the garbage out when I've been doing it for a year straight. Like there's just no excuse.
And especially now that there's a lot less to think about.
There really is. And I still can't do it. I'm so mad.
No, there's certain thing. I don't know what we are less likely to go out that front door. I think that has a lot to do with everything, or at least that's why I'm doing less laundry. I'm scared to go to this laundromat. So when I've gone out running or when I go skateboarding, I sweat a lot lately. I don't know why. I think it's glandular. But when I come home, I keep those clothes on and I do a pre-wash by wearing those clothes in the shower. And just kind of washing. It sounds strange. I know. I know that this is. I know you're not going to like this, Karen. But
I don't
keep
like it.
My sweaty outfit on, and I wash it, and then I line dry it, and it gets dry, and then it's not smelly, and it's half clean, and then I put it in the hamper. Do you see what I'm saying?
No, that's. Yes, I just think you can take those clothes off and wash them without. There's something very like Steve Martin's The Jerk about standing and washing your clothes on your
body. It's ridiculous. And if people were watching me shower like they used to, I probably would feel embarrassed. But to be honest, I was taking them off. I was washing them by hand and kind of rubbing them together. And it's easier to wash your clothes if you keep them on and you just do all the motions of a shower while wearing a t-shirt. I'm getting the armpit area. I'm getting the front. I'm using OxyClean. I'm spraying myself with chemicals. But then I hang it out and I get another wear out of it if it's another run or another skateboard session. I don't need a fully clean shirt for that.
You do, though. I think it's key.
Getting dressed to go immediately get sweaty. It's just the waste of an outfit.
But that's very
gross.
I would think the focus should be, it's disgusting. And I think the focus should be more on the reception because you don't want to be the guy in the skateboard group, which I know means the world to you. And it's a hard earned skateboard group. And they're, I'm sure, vicious. And you can't show up smelling like the weird girl in eighth grade.
It's just a testament to how we've been distancing because no one's smelled shit so far. And
are you sure? Would they say it?
I, you know what? Those guys don't talk to me much. I don't think they care about me all that much.
Do they know you're there, Chris? Is it your group of friends?
They don't know anything about me except as a skateboarder that isn't quite as good as them. So it's a very much, and I think it's good for me that it's like a sixth grade situation where I have to earn their respect every time I go meet them.
Cool. Wait, are they, again, age appropriate or are they younger than you?
No, they're all in their 40s. Yeah. But they're really good. They're all.
Did they ever have a video that was for sale in Thrasher magazine?
Sure. And totally.
The individuals?
They've all been pro skateboarders, I think.
That's cool.
So I'm just this dude that always has done it as a hobby. And they don't care about comedy or any stuff that I'm doing.
No, so, really?
Yeah. So
I hate people like that.
It's the only reason I half wash my shirt.
It's like your little revenge, a half revenge for you. How did you find this group of people? This idea of it was your skateboarding group, and now it's essentially a group you stand near who are all together.
It is sad that as I talk it out, I feel kind of embarrassed about it.
Can I laugh like this or should I stop laughing?
No. It's
okay.
I am unaffected by anything.
Now that you have dark brown hair.
Yeah. Look at these eyebrows. They're natural. God, I look like a clown probably. My friend Ira is a friend, but he has since moved to San Diego. But he introduced me to this group and I keep going to these 7 a.m. meetups. And I think it's become kind of obvious that they don't really care if I'm there. So I don't know if I'm going to keep going.
Have you gone and given them gift bags or anything, extended yourself in any way?
You make a friendship good point. Wise? I have not brought them gifts. I have
Mentos?
Not, yeah, I haven't done much. Maybe
stuff?
I need to try. I need to extend myself a little more.
What was the skateboard company that sent you decks and t-shirts?
Girl.
What if you're like, hey guys, and look, I realize this is a white lie, but it might get you in a little further. Hey, I own Girl. It's my skateboard company. I'm good friends with Spike Jones. And then you hand out decks to them and see.
These guys actually know those people probably. It would just backfire. And they're like,
super embarrassing.
Yeah. It would
That's
backfire.
My brother-in-law. How dare you? I'll fight you in the riverbank.
I just thought, oh God, I hope I don't have to fight down by the river. I thought at this point,
Brooks Whelan waiting in the reeds to back you
Brooks,
up.
Brooks Whelan has this brother that is Dave Bautista giant, like a bodybuilder. And he showed me pictures of him and I was laughing out loud because it's his older sibling and he's just a big, he looks like The Rock or something. It was just really funny. He showed me that.
Yeah.
When we're down by the river, me and the boys, we show each other a lot of photos of our families. He pulled up a bunch of his brothers and the light was hitting the water just right. And man, he's got a muscular older brother. And then this crane swept by. I don't know.
Drinking Mickey's Big Mouse and looking at family albums.
It's like
down by the river.
Yeah. It's very mid-80s.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, these skateboarders. I thought at some point I'd advance and get better and they'd be like, hey, you have a lot of old skills that are surfacing, but I've kind of leveled out. I'm not getting much better.
They would be like, you made such great progress, Chris. And they'll kind of rally around you. That was
today. Everyone left a little early and no one said goodbye to me.
Oh,
I think I need to find a new group, Karen.
Yeah, I would. I don't like that for you.
That's all right. Not everyone needs to like me.
But here's the thing about, I think skateboarders are so chill that it's not like, I think you kind of get the same treatment either way, right? It's just about, all they give a shit about is their obsessive need to land the move they're working on.
Right.
So they're not going, oh, Chris with his half clean shirt is here. They're just doing their thing. And if you want to be there, fine and whatever.
You are so right. And I thank you for saying that. You're right. They aren't even my whole life, I've always thought, oh, no one likes me or this, but the fact is they're just not thinking about you. They're thinking about their own stuff and it's not about you. And I have a weird it's almost like a narcissism in me that I need them to be reacting to my existence.
Yes, it's important.
Yeah, it really isn't in the long run. I should be, maybe I'd be a little better if I was less worried about what they think and I was more thinking about my moves.
Well, or you could sleep with one of their wives and then get in that way, where suddenly everyone's talking about, who is this Fairbanks guy? Mm-hmm. Why does he have such a hold on the group?
You're right. The minute I showed up today, I did think I should sleep with one of your wives. But COVID, distancing, they all have kids. They seem best like first. Nice people. I'd be shattering best first, families.
Sleep later. Look, you got to make your mark. Whoever has to pay for that, that's not
did
your
you
problem.
Do a version of shoot first, ask questions
yep.
later?
Test first.
What is it?
Test first, sleep with people later.
Okay, gotcha. Don't
That's
sleep with
saying.
Them until you see the whites of their brand new
wives.
Born babies. Oh, that's terrible. I'm not sleeping with anyone, Karen. I'm living like a monk.
Look, we all are. That's yeah. also, I think, a really powerful part of quarantine for the people that there's lots of people who are in relationships mm-hmm. and at this point they're absolutely miserable and God yeah. bless them all. And then there's the people who aren't in relationships and they're feeling a hopelessness to the level of which that they've never experienced before.
And that's
everyone is very unhappy.
I have never vacuumed with sexual frustration before, but it is a thorough job. And my
it almost
cooking,
turns into its own sexual experience after a while.
Yeah, I just yeah, it is my own. It's orgasmic. I was thinking of getting a new carpet, but I think I can just keep working on this one with some of my erotic energy that I've been putting into it.
Yeah, put the energy in and bring the carpet back to life. Don't get a new one. Just bring it. Vacuum out every last piece of dirt.
But I want one of those round natural ones.
Like the ones that look like somebody braided a big old shitty rug together.
Thank you.
Like
yes.
all the pieces, all the yeah. material pieces.
It's yeah. very macrame owl on a floor looking carpet. Yeah, I want one of those.
It's the first carpet you step in when you walk into the lake house.
Yes. I want a lake house carpet.
Sure.
Yeah.
We all do.
Yeah.
Hey, we all do. Look, that is your next step toward a relationship. Is get carpets that people who love cottages would admire, and then that will draw like a moth to a flame.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have ladies in and out.
Yeah,
of
and it'll be a good talking boy. It's a good conversation starter. Carpets.
Let's hear, what would that sound like? That conversation starter.
Thank you for asking.
Sure.
That's me saying that to you. Here's the conversation.
Okay.
Oh, you've come over. Perhaps you'd like to take off your shoes before you walk on my goddamn new carpet. Oh, that backfired. That seems
no,
aggressive.
No. It got weird. Your voice yeah. went real low.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
very
I got upset.
Threatening.
Well, I haven't had a lot of practice being around people, so let's try again. Do you like my new round, natural colored carpet? Go ahead and walk right across it. I don't care if it gets dirty. I just want to get to know you. What do you think?
That was awful in so many different ways.
Okay.
You told me where to walk.
Okay.
I also don't want to take my shoes off in a stranger's apartment.
No,
so
I said leave them on. The second time I was like, go ahead and walk wherever you want. You have the freedom to march across.
I thought you were doing a thing where you were super into like you're a foot guy. And you're into bare feet. And then you're like, walk all over my dirty apartment with your bare feet.
Like
I'm going to start taking pictures and posting them on Wiki.
I don't have that much pent up sexual energy. And I don't understand these feet people, to be honest. Even the most beautiful foot, the most ugly knobby foot with corns and bunions. I'm unaffected either way. I just don't pay attention to feet. Does that make me toenails? I do. You know,
what do you look for in a toenail, Chris?
Just for them to not look like you've been kicking tree stumps all day. Take care of them, you know. But other than that,
you have no requirements.
Yeah, I don't need feet to be all supple. I don't need them to not be ugly. I just need everyone in the world to wear shoes. I have the opposite of a foot fetish.
You want to cover them up.
I want the world to wear combat boots.
Let me ask you a question. You have, so say you have your beautiful woven natural rug in your, the circular one that's right in your doorway.
I have it dog-eared on Amazon ready to order. Yes.
So imagine that that's been delivered in 3 weeks from now and you have it thrown down and there's a gal and she's taken her shoes off outside and she walks into your apartment. You're like, this is it. And then her feet are so dry and calloused that they actually catch on that carpet and drag it with them into the rest of the house.
Oh,
what's your call there? What's the next play there?
First of all, I think that her feet are dry because she's been putting hand sanitizer on them. You know, it dries the skin. You only need to do that with your hands. Yeah. I sing the birthday song twice. As I wash my hands, and then I sing it a second time as I wash my feet. You don't need to do that. You just need to keep. Also, she's not coming in unless she's
on while you're washing your feet.
No one is coming into my apartment. This is going to be a meet and greet at the door.
Oh.
I will open the door, say, look in here. I got this new carpet, but you can't come in.
Good, good.
So, and the fact that you really, it's kind of a horrifying situation. You're saying her feet are so dry that they snag the carpet.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So she has the face. She is the face of an angel.
Angel face.
She's your dream lady from when you were 12 years old.
But her feet
are
eagle talons.
It looks like crusty Italian bread that have hooked onto this carpet. That's also natural.
Oh,
the two naturally occurring items mixed together. And then it looks like she's wearing one big, what are those called? A snowshoe. But it's your rug. And she's wearing it all around your apartment.
Okay, you win, Karen. I guess I do have some opinions about feet.
I told you.
I would.
And I knew I was going to prove it.
You beat it out of me. I would maybe ask the lady whose feet snagged my carpet and make it fray. I would possibly ask to leave my home.
You know what you could do? I'm going to solve this problem that I made up for you. Is like you're saying, you go, hey, can we have a hallway hang? I realized I am more comfortable that way. You actually give it a term like that. Chris's hallway hangs. Then she can see it. She can visualize it. Oh, I belong out here with this one big rug shoe.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll stand in the hallway and talk to him.
So as long as I give it a name, like it's a popular thing to do.
It's just a thing you do every day at four. It's Chris's hallway hang.
Yeah, like with my buddy Jim, we have stoop drinks. We go out on his stoop, and then he says,
"That shit,
want to have a stoop drink?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I know what that is. I've become comfortable with that saying. I have to come up with."
Is Jim one of the skateboarders?
No, he's a regular friend that actually likes me. He cares about my well-being. I was going to tell those guys today, I'm going to be gone for a couple weeks. I'm going to go to Montana, but I didn't even bother.
You'd be like, guys, you can still hang. Totally cool with me. I'm not going to be here, though. So
there's a slim chance sometime in a couple weeks, they'll all be at Costco and they'll be like, hey, where's Chris? We just realized we miss him.
Yeah.
That's that kind of smelly little guy.
They're going to be like, hey, we finally stuck that Ollie.
Yeah, Ollie's
a
fine.
A McFlip. The McWhatever called.
Just say a tray flip. Like say a three. We were working on our 360 flips the other day.
A 360 flip.
It's a kick.
So they finally.
Yeah.
Nailed that 360. The 360 is nailed. Then they finally have the chance to focus on something outside themselves.
Right.
Which is a painful thing for them because they had hard childhoods.
Yeah.
And that's the reason that they skateboard in the first place is just to get away from the screaming and the light abuse.
You bring up a good point. I've asked none of these guys about their childhoods.
Maybe that's a way I could extend myself.
Bring a gift. Ask about what it was like when they were kids.
You're like, did you grow up similar to any of the Dogtown Z boys? Just ask that first and they'll love that. They'll know you saw the documentary.
Yeah, which any core skateboarder does. They bring up that documentary.
I feel like you're playing with, not that they're mean, but like skateboarders as a hanging group seem very, it's borderline surfing where it's very clicky and like locals only type stuff. I mean, it feels like you're playing with fire here, though they're 50.
Yeah, it's my experience hasn't been. It's always like quirky, creative kids. But you're right. This feels very much like we're all meeting at a surf spot. And it's kind of territorial. I that's exactly how it is. You're hitting all the nails on the heads.
So here's the
Karen,
solution
today.
Here's what I think. When you are in Montana, get everyone a little souvenir. And so when you come back, this is a snow globe with the mountain range that I looked at as a child.
Sure. Okay.
And that's for you, Rudy.
What if?
You're so good.
What if I gave them all snow globes? I just gave that.
This one says Glacier National Park. I hope you enjoy it.
Yep. They're all wrapped. Yeah. You really take a moment after the session's over.
I'll bring them You know what? I will pick some stickers up and I'll give them stickers from my local friend's skate shop. Maybe they'll appreciate that.
Great. Yes. But then I would also, something to remember the state by, you know, maybe they've never had a chance to go to Montana. So you can say, these are our fresh blueberries, what have you.
What if I drive through Glacier Park, take some pictures and just show them the pictures on my phone? Is that enough of a gift?
It's not, a gift.
Look at this. It's going to the Sun Road. It's beautiful. All right. That's enough. That's enough.
No,
get your eyes
off. Look, look, don't touch.
Yeah.
Remember when look, don't touch was the most devastating thing someone could say to you? And you're just like, look at my thing. Look, don't touch.
Oh, okay. God. Yeah. That seems abusive. That's a real say it, don't spray it thing.
I have a speech impediment.
I'm working on it. I have a tongue thrust. You'd think I asked for it. It was a gift from God. I don't need some popular kid saying, say it, don't spray it. I need the news, not the weather. You're hurting my feelings. Sorry.
How much spit did you spit on kids? It sounds like you heard
a lot. Karen, okay. A lot.
Yeah.
I was a spitter and a nose picker. I found... Actually, this isn't... I was going to say it was my story. My friend Ross, he liked this girl, and then he found a note in the playground. And it was a note that one girl had written to another, and she said, I sure like Ross. He's really cute, but he picks his nose a lot. And I just remember now, I was thinking, well, that note could have been about me. Look, I just did it.
Yeah, but that's not the same. Pinching the side of your nostril... because there's a little itch or maybe there's something going on.
Yeah.
Is passable.
No.
Better to do it in your car when you're by yourself and not on a Zoom call.
But what kind of a kid in sixth grade takes out a tissue and blows their nose all loud and making sure the whole classroom looks back at them?
No. You're acting like the only choice is to pick your nose at school. Why don't boys understand that every move you make at school will absolutely be talked about and held against you?
Yeah.
Like, if you want to pick your nose, that's for you to do in the privacy of your bedroom with the door closed and music turned up.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, but listening to punk rock.
Yeah,
then I end up picking too aggressive. That's how you get a nosebleed. I pick my nose to Roxy music.
Because you're fucking stylish?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank God I kicked that habit.
It's my life. Picking.
Avalon.
I couldn't think of a Roxy Music song, so I just went with that one.
Well, get on Spotify and rediscover them.
Avalon. Picking your nose to Avalon. That's funny.
Oh, God. Ross, I'm sorry I told that story about the note you found, if you're listening.
Ross. Listen, wait, what grade was that in?
Oh, like sixth grade.
Because you know what's funny? April and I were talking about it. We were laughing so hard at all the things that happened to you that are bad in like junior high and high school.
Yeah.
That you, because she, like she and Millie had, were talking about somebody that they went to high school with and how like they were popular in high school and not, you know, whatever. Life didn't do well by them. And that whole idea of like, thank God we didn't peak in high school. Like,
yeah.
But as we were talking about it, I'm like, totally. But then I thought to myself, I'm like, no, but I've been so, fueled by like, I didn't, I wasn't popular in high school and how much it bothered me and
yeah.
how much I wanted to like prove that I'm popular or whatever. And it's like, but you can't, you look back and like the people that were popular weren't funny or cool. It was just this weird.
They played football or yeah.
Yeah. Or they were just, for the girls, it was like they were all pocket size small yeah. or just had weird, perfect faces or whatever. But like, but then went on to kind of like muck around in reality and not have a very good time because no one gave a shit about them once high school was over.
Yeah, it's sad to think about. I feel bad for that. I haven't been to a high school reunion. I don't think I want to be confronted by that stuff. But you're right. I didn't like high school. I thought no one liked me until the very end. Like senior year, I was like, wait, a lot of these people like me. And then I had so much fun in college and made friends right away. It's like, maybe it was just... my high school was haunted. I don't know.
It was ghosts that made you unpopular, not yeah. your constant nose picking.
Hey, I curbed that, but no, you're right. I picked all through high school.
But would you actually do it like in a class?
Who am I going to have a hanky in my back pocket like some kind of a grandpa?
How is that worse than putting your finger in your fucking nose?
It's just more convenient.
For who? What about those around you?
I was real secretive. No one ever saw me. No one ever caught me. I was real good. Sleight of hand. It was early magic.
Why wouldn't you wait to go into the bathroom?
Because there's so many germs. That's the last place you could should use your fingers for anything.
Have you ever picked your nose in front of the skateboard crew?
Oh, God, probably.
Oh, God.
Aww.
The group.
Those guys are never going to like me.
All right. Well, what are your final thoughts, Chris?
If you haven't watched my special Rescue Cactus, I made it a little easier and it is now on ChrisFairbanksComedySpecial.com or RescueCactus.com.
Great.
As well as We're Gnarly. But yeah, it's on Vimeo. Please watch it. We're getting close to our goal of paying for it. yeah, thank you. That's all. That's all I have to plug. How about you, Karen?
I don't have anything to plug, although there's a documentary that I watched the other night. We keep watching these documentaries. And there's this documentary called Recorded, I believe. And it's the Marianne Stokes Project. There was a woman... in Philadelphia, I believe, in the all through the 80s and 90s and early 2000s, who recorded 24 hours of television news every day. She had a whole system of VCRs in her apartment.
Uh-huh.
It's the most fascinating story. And she was this really, really intelligent, kind of like almost of the intelligentsia of the local culture woman. And she was Black and she hosted a television show like that was on PBS. It's the most fascinating story. We were like blown away. It was really cool.
I'm going to watch it. I want to ask why she was recording all that, but it's probably in the documentary and I should just watch it.
Yeah, you should. It's really good. It's really good.
Well, I'm going to watch it. And by the way, Karen, see this nice white shirt that I'm wearing?
Yeah.
I washed it on my body in the shower and it smells great. I just got a whiff of it. It smells great. Don't get mad at me because I know the future of clothing washing. You keep it on your body and you act like it's part of your skin.
And do you wash it with shampoo?
And I line dry it. Yes, I wash it with a soap that's good for your hair and your skin.
Zestfully clean.
And I'm going to write that company and say, you might as well add clothes to the list because my shirts smell great and my skin is supple.
Are you using Lever 2000 for all your 2000 parts on that shirt?
How do you remember a soap that hasn't existed for 20 years?
Because it meant the world to me where I was like, yeah, but maybe I'm going to get my mom to buy Lever 2000 because it's for all your 2000 parts.
You're using that part of your brain that could be remembering an actor when someone says, name an actor. And you
that's
just
why
go,
I can't have a favorite actor.
Because you got soap in the brain.
Because I'm like, for all your 2000 parts. Remember, it was like, and then it was yeah. the squares. It was like this part of your elbow, this part of your knee.
Yeah.
Lever 2000.
God, it's one of those ads that lets us know that we are evolving and we were kind of dumb 20, 25 years ago.
It's true. It was because that soap was almost marketed like this is computer soap for the future people. And I was like, I've got to be a part of this movement.
Now there's an American soap that washes absolutely what is dirty on you.
Parts.
Lever 2000. The future of soap. Imagine it was like, we need a futuristic soap name.
Yep.
Think of this untouchable year, the year 2000. It's sure it's 1988 now.
Yeah.
But in 2000, our soap is going to hover off the sink into our space showers.
Where we'll wash our own clothes on our bodies.
You'll just put your hands back. And much like the Jetsons, the soap will, a little antenna will come out of it and it'll wash your body without your help.
And then it'll turn to the camera and go, it's a living.
Hey, I hate my space job.
You'd think this guy'd be a little cleaner. I always love those jokes in cartoons growing up where they were overtly not jokes, like not funny. And I would just be like, ugh.
That's just an animal being abused. He has to eat garbage under the sink all day.
No wonder that weird stork doesn't want to be the garbage disposal at Fred Flintstone's house. He's bummed. He's got to eat all those bones and shit. All right. This is us wrapping up.
Yep. Yep. We always wind down with conclusionary statements. Thank you for listening. It's good to see you, Karen. I feel like we're almost in the same room.
I know. It's good to see you, too. It's well, let's do another one of those trivia Zoom shows. That was the most fun.
Yeah, yeah. Let's invite ourselves.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, let's treat everything like a group of 50-year-old skateboarders and just invite ourselves
to whatever is going on. I'm really embarrassed now. I just keep showing up. I realize these guys don't really like me.
I'm going to show up with you one time and then just throw out like a folding chair and then watch you and take pictures and just make it all the most humiliating experience.
I've brought friends. I'm like, look, this guy likes me. It just isn't helping.
They're a tough group, but you know what? If they'll have your back, if you get stabbed in that parking lot, I bet you they will come and wrap your wound or drive you over to St. John's.
I think you're right, actually. Yeah.
They're not about talk. They're not about communicating feelings. They're men, you know, skateboarding men.
You do have a point, and I haven't even thought about it that much, but you're right.
Yeah. I think about it all the time. I can't stop obsessing over it. How we get in with this group.
All right, let's go.
Yeah.
Good to see you, friend. You've been listening.
To see you too.
You've been listening. I'm a little kid who's been outside playing and I'm excited to tell
Mom?
Hey, you guys, you've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYNAAR.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we wanna be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We wanna send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.